So today is the first Sunday of Lent, a 40-day span of time that leads up to Easter. And this year, Lent began on an interesting date, February 14th, Ash Wednesday. Also happened to be Valentine's Day. Kind of a curious juxtaposition of events and meaning. Some of you may have observed both of those days last week, I don't know. Even though Valentine's Day originated with the execution of two Christians in the 3rd century whose name was Valentine, it has kind of morphed into something else in our culture. So for the last few centuries, it's become a romantic holiday or romantic day to tell someone, I love you, or to have someone tell you, I love you. I happened to stop in the HEB store on Valentine's Day, and the flower shop was bustling. And it seemed to be mostly men with frantic looks on their faces, so I don't know. But I totally agree that flowers are a great way to say, I love you. Maybe if you see them around you today, think of God saying to you, I love you. So on February 14th, you might have said that to someone, I love you, or someone said it to you. And you may have heard the words also on that day, from dust you were made and to dust you shall return, as someone rubbed ashes on your forehead, reminding you of your mortality. Then it may have seemed like a day of mixed messages to you. This Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, was especially grim with the mass shooting of children in Parkland, Florida, at the high school. We were shocked, still are. We are sad, we're angry. And I hope that each of those children and the teachers who lost their lives that day heard someone say to them, I love you. One way to do the journey of Lent is to give up something as kind of a fast, as a spiritual discipline. And perhaps a good fast on this Lenten season would be to give up some of our time to spend time calling and writing and taking action toward better gun control in our society. I plan to do something this Lent season in that direction. Last Thursday evening, I think it was, I met with candidates at a nearby church here for local office. And we set up little groups, and the candidates came to each one of our groups, and we did a round robin kind of thing. And the issues were medical insurance and care and education were kind of the two main issues that rose to the surface. The one time that I heard about gun control, it was pretty much dismissed as a non-starter in the state of Texas. Maybe we can change that. Let's see what we can do. The 40 days leading up to Easter are meant to connect with the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness fasting and being tempted by Satan. The gospel text is odd in the way that it moves quickly from Jesus' baptism right into the temptation of Jesus. At baptism, God declares, you are my child, I love you, I am pleased with you. And what a great affirmation. And then the next scene is Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, who offers him many pathways, gives many opportunities to God's beloved child. Pathways to power, to wealth, and to fame in the world. And Jesus rejects those pathways and takes up a way of life that declares and lives the good news that God's reign of love is near. And so he returns from the wilderness saying, repent and hear the good news. This is his announcement. This little gospel text is kind of a stark way to frame an exemplary human life for those of us who desire to follow the way of Jesus. When we accept God's love and affirmation and kinship as a child of God, we are then given choices as to how we live out that identity. Will we follow the ways of the world, Or will we live in such a way that our lives become good news to humanity, ways of healing and love and nurture? Will my choices in life bring suffering and harm on my brief journey in life? Or will my choices in life bring healing and justice and hope and peace for those who need healing and for those who are oppressed? Will I be a trustworthy travel companion and friend to those, to you, who accompany me on that journey? Baptism in the Christian faith is a way of declaring one's direction in life and a way of accepting God's unconditional affirmation and blessing. It is kind of a covenant ceremony between an individual and God and the community of faith. This is the path I choose to follow. This is the community I commit myself to. This is my understanding of God. I choose to follow the way of Jesus with that understanding. And the community offers back affirmation for that declaration and then offers counsel together as we discern the way of Jesus in this place and during these times. Covenants of various kinds are found throughout the Old and New Testaments. The word testament actually means covenant. We talk about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And at the center of the Old Testament is Moses and the law. And at the center of the New Testament is Jesus and life in the Spirit and following the way of Jesus. Covenants in the Bible are highlighted in the Lenten scriptures that we will look at this Lenten season, the lectionary year B. The covenants that God makes with people of God provide hints as to what the nature of the relationship is intended between God and creation, as well as guidelines for how we relate to God and how we relate to each other. So we start the Lenten journey, as Gloria shared in the children's story, discovering how vastly inclusive God's covenant is and that it's extended from generation to generation. Today in Genesis 9, we read about the covenant God makes with Noah and his descendants and every living creature on the earth. What implications are there when God includes all the creatures in the covenant with Noah? It's not just a human, God, divine thing. It's all the creatures and all of the earth. What does this tell us about our relationship with animals, with creation and creation care? What does it tell us about God? It tells us that God remembers, God is good, God's patience will never run out. God allows humanity the freedom to destroy, and that freedom is not revoked. As we sit on the edge of a nuclear disaster, for those of you who follow the Council of the Atomic Scientists of the world, they have a doomsday clock that's close to midnight. And whenever there seems to be a threat in the world leading us more toward a nuclear episode, that clock comes closer to 12. Where is it at now? 2 minutes to midnight or to the end? It's really close, really close. And part of that is driven by the tensions with North Korea, with Iran, and with the U.S. wanting to upgrade and manufacture more nuclear weapons. I heard a figure that we have like 8,500 nuclear weapons in this country, you know, enough to probably do a lot more than the Noahic flood did back in the day. The covenant does not answer the question of whether God will stop that annihilation. It only declares that God's patience will never run out. What does this story in Genesis and in Mark tell us about ourselves? I find it curious that the story of Noah is in Genesis, a story of beginnings, and the story of Jesus in the wilderness, discerning which way his life and ministry will move, is also a story of beginnings as well. And putting those two together and finding that there is a common thread of communing with nature in both of those stories is interesting to me. And I wonder, as we think about ourselves as beloved of God, but yet from dust we were made and to dust we will return, how we put those two things together. On the one hand, I'm a child of God, I'm going to live forever, and you know, I participate in God's Spirit, I have the hope of eternal life, and all of those good things. On the other hand, I'm a creature, just like all the other creatures of the earth, and I participate in that reality. We breathe the same air, we have the same kind of nourishment, we depend on each other's benevolence for our coexistence. And we live in a day when that is at risk, when we as human creatures are putting many other creatures and even the home that we co-inhabit at risk. Maybe the text today tell us something about that. And maybe this season of Lent, as we journey toward Easter, and as we re-examine our commitments to this way of Jesus, perhaps one of the issues that we can look at is how we relate to care of the earth, how we relate to each other, how we relate to the critters around us. How many of you have pets? My daughter last week ago or so had a cat of 13 years that she had to put down. It had diabetes. She was spending lots of money on it. It was having a special diet. She was having to be there at certain times to feed it. You know, it was very disruptive of her life, and the cat was losing weight and wasn't improving. She probably could have spent thousands of dollars and prolonged the life a little bit. But just going through that experience with her, she couldn't make the decision by herself to say it's time. So it was kind of interesting at the beginning of February to gather with my daughter and to grieve with her as she went to the vet and said goodbye to her beloved Roland, Roland the cat. We can learn something from the creatures around us. In an urban setting, I think there are lots of critters that we see on leashes and in our homes and so forth. I invite us sometime during this Lenten season to maybe go out where there's grass, air, sun, maybe other kinds of creatures, birds, and to spend time with that setting and perhaps, like Jesus, reflect on choices that are before us in life and reflect on whether our life choices say something about us that help us to be good news and a healing presence and people in the world. So God bless us as we take this journey of Lent. Amen.